Hello and welcome. Welcome once again to the Start, Scale, and Succeed podcast, the only podcast that grows with you through all seven stages of your journey as a founder. I'm your host, Scott Ritzheimer, and you've heard it, like just about every founder story out there starts with a bad job. We hear it all the time, so often that something unusual has happened, I think, over the course of history, and that is that we've started to think that maybe the only way or definitely the best way out of a bad job is to start our own organization. But I think that could be a huge mistake because getting out of a bad job is a bad reason to become an entrepreneur. I believe that with all my heart. I believe there's a much, much easier way to find fulfillment in your work. And my guest today is going to be able to help us find the way. I'm really excited about this. Today's guest is Eric Woodard. He is the founder of Win at Work, where he helps founders, leaders, and professionals build careers and businesses that actually work for their lives. He's known for turning complex career and leadership challenges into clear, practical steps people can take right away. Through coaching, workshops, and content, Eric helps people get unstuck, build trust faster, and create momentum without burnout. And his work focuses on clarity, confidence, and human connection, especially during moments of growth, change, and reinvention. Eric believes success should feel sustainable, not exhausting. And his approach blends real work experience with simple frameworks that stick. And he's here with us today. Eric, welcome to the show. You've coached some folks through some pretty significant career transitions and have made some remarkable career choices yourself. What does real job dissatisfaction actually look like? And how is that different from just having a rough stretch?
Yeah, well, Scott, first of all, so happy to be here. I just want to honor you for like putting together this podcast and serving all the people that you do. It really makes a positive dent in the universe. And you're exactly right about, you know, often when people are in a bad job and they don't know what to do, they will, one of the things that some will do is they'll be like, well, I'm going to start my own thing. And look, for some people, that's a great move. And unless you've got that pinch, I wouldn't say it's necessarily an easier path. And so to answer your question, you know, some of the options or some of the ways to make a job better, and I'm stealing this from one of my coaches, the Godfather coach, a guy named Steve Chandler, is the idea of agreement. So often when people are in jobs, they're just living in a world of expectation without agreements. And that can be a whole big giant recipe for hurt.
Yeah. Yeah. And there are times in any career that it's a little mundane, right? That it's a little challenging. How do we know if that mundane is systemic or situational? How do we know if hey, this is something that is a tension to be managed in just the course of normal life or a problem to be solved?
Yeah, it's a great question. And look, I think that happens in every arena, right? There are seasons. Even as an entrepreneur, you know, there are seasons of sort of ho-hum boredom, and then there are seasons of sheer terror, and then there are seasons of excitement and growth. And the same thing happens in, you know, a W-2 job. I don't think that's unique to somebody, you know, doing a 9-to-5. But one way, you know, that one can sort of have a sense of it is, you know, like how's the learning, right? My experience is if that people are in jobs that sort of, you know, that for sort of feeling stuck, that being in a rut really boils down to like the sort of the learning curve has stopped. Like challenge, you know, because when people aren't learning and they're not challenged, they're often not really happy. And by the way, this is not unique to jobs. This is unique to, I think, any arena. So, you know, if you're in a job and you're feeling that, the job might not be the problem. It could be that, you know, you might not have been as entrepreneurial within your job as you could be or want to be, or it could be that you're now overqualified for the job you hold and it's time to level up within your organization or another organization, but it may not necessarily be, you know, the next level could be entrepreneur, but it might not be.
Yeah. Yeah. So a lot of times when folks are frustrated with their job, I call them dissatisfied employees, but folks are frustrated with their job. It's usually my boss, this, my pay that, you know, the commute, this, it's almost always some kind of external factor, but I just don't think that adds up. What is the real driver behind dissatisfaction that you found in your work, and how can we diagnose it the proper way?
Yeah. So sometimes it, you know, I mean, I agree with you. Those are like the bad boss. It's not really the bad boss that's making me upset. It's how we're relating to the quote bad boss. And even the fact that we're relating to them as bad. And it could be that, you know, we're feeling, you know, it gets back to like the Maslow stuff, right? You know, we're feeling afraid at some level. We're feeling threatened. And that can be our identity. That can feel, you know, we're a social tribe species. If we want to go back to all the caveman wiring, right? There's somebody, you know, here's an interesting thing about jobs, by the way, and with all deference to our Native American friends, they could be an exception. But the closest thing we have to a tribe in the modern day is probably our work. And the boss is the closest thing we have to a chief, right? And yeah. So we're sort of wired that way to operate in, you know, that's just, I mean, this goes back to like amygdala, you know, lizard brain stuff, like to operate within a tribe and the social interactions within. And if for some reason we feel disrespected in the tribe, our position's not recognized, we have wiring that basically tells us that we're about to die, because 100,000 years ago, we might have been. And so if we can sort of glitch out of that and realize, no, I'm not threatened here. It's just that there's something at work that's a little dysfunctional. And rather than take my ball and go home or quiet quit or sit in the corner and pout, we have these magical things, Scott, these magical things. They're called requests. We can make mouth words. We can go to people and we can say, hello, let's co-create an agreement around what's happening here to make it gooder for everybody. And often what happens is they say yes. And if and when they don't, that's when we can get really curious and replace judgment with curiosity. Because my boss is a jerk is really a form of judgment. Whereas if we can replace that with, I wonder what's going on with my boss, miracles can unfold.
Yeah, yeah. Hi there, this is Scott. Thank you so much for listening. We're going to get back to the show in just a few seconds, but first, I wanted to let you know about my brand new Founders Evolution Quiz. If you're a founder, business owner, or CEO who feels overworked by the business you lead and underwhelmed by the results you're getting, you're doing it wrong. Succeeding as a founder all comes down to doing the right one or two things for right now. So take the quiz today at foundersquiz.com. Again, that's foundersquiz.com. And in just 10 questions, you can figure out what stage you're in so you can focus on what's going to work and say goodbye to everything else. Now, back to the show. I love that because there's so much that we can do even without changing the job, right? There's so much that we have control over, and that a bad job isn't necessarily a bad job. I love it's the way that we relate to it. That's really profound. Now, there are some bad jobs and there are some bad bosses. There are some circumstances, maybe even not a bad job or a bad boss, but just something that we're out of alignment with ourselves. How do you help folks get to the bottom of what a dream job would really look like? What's the right work for them?
Yeah, well, I mean, the first question is, if and when we feel an upset, right? If and when we are angry about our job or dissatisfied or whatever, the first question to ask is, you know, where's that coming from? Are we reaching that conclusion on a Friday afternoon when we're tired and we haven't eaten and we haven't petted a dog in a while? You know, like if we're like already triggered, that might not be the best time to make this analysis. But let's say, for argument's sake, that we're sitting on a mountain in Tibet and we're meditated and we've eaten and we petted a dog and we're coming from a place of neutrality, right? This isn't just a panic, hangry sort of moment. And we're like kind of neutral and we're like, yeah, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to, you know, deal with this anymore. Then that's a place where we can be like, okay, yeah, this isn't the job for me. And then what I find is people will do is they'll go into trying to explain it, right? They'll start judging themselves. Well, you know, they'll start shoulding themselves, right? And they'll be like, well, I should. And I'm like, yeah, if and when you're done, you don't have to explain it to anybody, including your employer, right? If they're like, why are you leaving? Because I want to. But why? Because I want to, right? That's perfect. I mean, this is what I like to call my yay capitalism speech, right? There are things about capitalism that one could, you know, arguably debate the pros and cons. And one of the maybe good things is free movement of labor. They can often fire you at will. And guess what? You can quit at will and you can change jobs at will. Yay, capitalism. This is the way it works, for better or worse. So,
yeah.
yeah, we don't have to fret about it too much. We can just decide and take action and come from a place of efficacy and agency.
Yeah. And so once somebody has taken that degree of agency, they've realized, hey, maybe this isn't the best place for me. This isn't what I want to do. There's this big looming question there. That's like, what do I want to do? And so how do you help folks answer that question?
Yeah, Scott, do you know the Japanese idea of ikigai? I bet you do. Do you know what I mean by ikigai? Have you heard that? Okay, so
I heard it from a car show. Keep going.
So for your listeners who don't know, it's basically Venn diagram, four circles. The circles are, what do I want to do? What am I good at? What can I get paid for? And what does the world need? And what I find a lot is people focus on what I want to do. They may focus next on what can I get paid for. Then they'll focus on what am I good at. And finally, at the end, they'll focus on what does the world need? And my invitation to anybody who's trying to figure out their career stuff is to flip that.
Wow.
Ask the question, what's needed out there? And my friends, the world is in need right now. I mean, just turn on the news. The world is in need, like only everywhere. There's plenty of need out there. So, you know, if you can build a better mousetrap, people are going to beat a path to your door. And that has never been more true today. Whereas if you're out there just really focused on me, let me tell you how I can be impressive. Let me tell you about my skills and experience. They don't care. They don't care because they're only thinking about one thing, employers, that is. They're thinking about themselves. So let's focus on them. That's how we can create miracles in our career.
Yeah. It's really cool because it gets into what a lot of entrepreneurs deal with is how do they find a market, right? And how do they present what they offer to the market? And so there's so many parallels there for our audiences. You have to, it's not about you. And so this is a total soapbox space for me, but it's like, it's why jumping into being an entrepreneur because of a bad job thing sets you up for failures, because you're doing it all for yourself and about yourself. And that's not going to work any better there than it does in your current job, which is a real problem. So I'm going to set you up a little bit. We didn't talk about this ahead of time, but this is a something that's really important. And I think we're highly aligned on it. But one of the things that I've noticed is you've kind of oscillated between the word job and the word work. And you've done it probably in the same way that I would. Just quick definition. What's the difference between a job and work?
Yeah, well, they're a little bit synonymous. I guess that, thanks for pointing that out. I guess the way I'm using it is a job is like a W-2, right? Like it's maybe a container for work, or one type of container where we do work, right? We trade our time for money. We trade our expertise for money, and we get a salary. And there's a job description, there are hours, there's hierarchy around it. It's a in the US, taxes is tax season, right? It's what we would call, we get a W-2, right? It's a salary position. Whereas, work, we could be working in our yard. We could be working as an entrepreneur. We could be working, cleaning, making dinner. I think work is probably, and those would be other kinds of containers for the idea of work. And, I'm blanking on his name, but the guy who wrote the War of Art, has written a lot about this, right?
Stephen Pressfield.
Yes. Thank
Pressfield,
you. Pressfield. He's written a lot about the idea of, what's a professional. And a lot of times, we can be a professional in a lot of ways that doesn't relate to being, that's the other word we could throw in here, job, work, professional. Those are three ideas that can sometimes happen in the same time, in the same place, and not necessarily. Great question.
Yeah, I love that. So I have this question, Eric, that I ask all my guests. I'm very interested to see what you'd have to say. But the question is this: what is the biggest secret that you wish wasn't a secret at all? What's that one thing you wish every dissatisfied employee out there listening knew today?
It's great. It's such a great question. And we've touched on it a little bit, but there is no greater opportunity in the world to replace self-centered judgment with them-centered curiosity. Right. If we can make it about them and not judge them, but be curious about them. I mean, miracles will unfold in our work and life every time.
Wow. Yeah. I love that. Them-centered curiosity is so good. Eric, there's some folks listening who it's just the right message, right time. You're exactly what they need at this stage in their career. they'd love some help just walking their way through some of the complexity here. Where can they find out more about the work that you do? Where can they connect with you?
Thanks so much, Scott. So if you want to find out more, go to winatwork.io. That's winatwork.io. I run a free workshop like every week. It's free for anybody, and just come and you can learn a lot more about how to get hired fast. We'd love to have you there.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Winatwork.io. We'll put that in the show notes for everyone. You don't have to go find it. You can just tap or click there. And yeah, Eric, fantastic. I loved this conversation. It was exactly what I needed today. It was a lot of fun. Thanks for being on. We really appreciate having you here. And for those of you watching and listening, you know, your time and attention mean the world to us. I hope you got as much out of this conversation as I know I did. And I cannot wait to see you next time. Take care. Scott Ritzheimer here. Thank you so much for listening to the Start, Scale, and Succeed podcast. I hope this episode gave you exactly what you need for your stage right now. If you want to discover what stage you're in, take our 10-question Founders Evolution quiz for free at founderskiz.com. That's founderskiz.com. It'll pinpoint exactly where you are and give you tailored tips to move forward and reach that next level in your journey as a founder. If you got something out of today's episode, would you do us a favor and share it on social media? Just grab a quick screenshot on your phone, text it to a friend, or post it on your favorite platform. Tag us and use hashtag StartScaleSucceed. I'd love to see your posts. You can also head over to scalearchitects.com/podcast to check out more episodes tagged by your stage so you can focus on what matters most right now. Don't forget, subscribe, rate, review. It helps us to reach more founders like you, and it means a ton to me and my team. So let's keep starting, scaling, and succeeding together. I'll see you in the next episode.